Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This episode of Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by Ken leaving Barbie for G.I. Joe. Instead, it's brought to you by Pitney Bowes. No matter what your small office needs or sends, Pitney Bowes SendPro C200 has you covered. The C200 lets you send mail and packages right from your desk. Plus, save 3 cents a letter and up to 39 cents off retail shipping rates. Start saving today and get a free 60-day trial of a Pitney Bowes C200 by visiting pb.com/sideways. That's pb, as in peanut butter, .com/sideways. Terms apply. See sites for details.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm your host, Joe, joined as always by
your other host, Devin,
and
the guy in this chair named Steve.
Okay, there you go.
Your third host?
Yeah, the third most.
Well, that makes me sound like the third wheel.
No, you're not.
The shoe
we're all, yeah, we're all equally at the bottom here.
Because it's smelly and I refuse to put it on.
Because Joe had it last.
Yeah. Hey, what are you talking about? My feet don't stink.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's.
Well, this is off to a raging start. What are we doing here today, Joe?
I don't know. I was going to do a story about garbage collection. And then somebody dropped this one on my desk. Kind of interesting story. So I dropped the garbage one and picked up this one.
All right.
It's a mystery, it turns out. It begins in late 1988 when the freighter Freedon set out for Haiti from Miami, Florida. The island of Haiti, that is. The Freedon was under the command of Florian Meyer Borsch, a German guy. It was an 82-foot tramp freighter registered in the Bahamas.
What's a tramp freighter?
Yeah.
Tramp freighter, any sort of tramp ship is like, it's one that doesn't belong to a regular shipping company, so it doesn't have a regular schedule. Essentially, it just does sort of spot loads.
Okay.
So it picks up a spot job to transport cargo from this spot to this spot, but, you know, it varies all over the place.
Okay.
And they're called tramp. And, you know, you associate that word with kind of an old, rusty, cruddy-looking ship, which they tend to be because, obviously the new shiny ones are, those are owned by the big lines.
Because they're expensive.
Lots of money, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so that's what a tramp freighter is. So it worked the Caribbean waters carrying loads of whatever people want to ship, pretty much. And there's some rumors that a lot of these boats do a lot of smuggling also.
Which would make kind of sense. Kind of
makes
sense.
They're
desperate for cash. I mean, because they're not getting the big, and I mean that by they're not getting the giant lucrative contracts.
Oh, yeah, they're not. They really aren't, but they're just doing the spot stuff, like I say. It's kind of a hand-to-mouth existence, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Although most of what they carry is perfectly legit. You know, it actually is possible to carry a totally legit load and maybe have a little bit of drugs on board. You know, I mean, it really is. I mean, I used to know a guy years ago who had been in the Merchant Marine, and he smuggled drugs just personally for himself while he was in the Merchant Marines, and a lot of people did. So, you know.
Is that considered smuggling or just carrying your own supply?
It's considered smuggling.
It's smuggling, okay. Yeah, matter what you do it for. Yeah, he did smuggle. But anyway, back to our story. With Friedan was, besides carrying the German guy, Florian, it was also carrying Lisa Bishop, who was 23 years old from Atlanta, Georgia.
Attractive white lady.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which makes us interested in this story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly why we're doing it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Lisa was, as I said, 23 years old, a journalism student at Georgia State University, living in Atlanta in 1988. She had a boyfriend, Paul Cornwell, who, if you watched Unsolved Mysteries, you can see Paul. He's on there.
Because this is an Unsolved Mysteries, the TV show special.
They actually did an episode about this one. Yeah. And that long, long time ago.
Well, sometimes I forget that they would just take any story. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the mythos of that show made it seem like they were always doing big, important cases.
No.
And they did everything, which was the fun thing about that show.
Yeah, and some of them were these little smaller, kind of more obscure stories. And this is a legitimate story, by the way.
Yeah.
And it totally is. It's a mystery what the hell happened to her, the ship, and everything. Oh, I'm giving it all away here. Sorry, folks.
Dang
it. Let's go back to Paul with his awesome hair. Cut and mustache.
Yeah, Paul did not have the best. I'm assuming he's caught up with the times. He's got a better haircut these days.
It was 88. I guess it was a little 89. Later than that
probably,
by the time they were filming, but yeah.
Yeah, 89, 90, even 91 by the time they filmed that. I don't know exactly when they did. But at the time that Lisa left Miami on the Freedon, he owned a punk rock club in Atlanta called Metroplex, which apparently back in the day was a pretty happening venue.
Yeah.
And I think it's still around, actually.
I have no idea.
I don't know that
I didn't even think to look at that.
Yeah, I did a quick look. It does appear that it's still there. It's probably totally different. All those venues change, you know, totally from year to year, practically. But he owned it, managed it, and Lisa apparently hung out there a lot, because why not? She'd been dating him for like 3 years. And she was hanging out there and met this German guy, who we talked about before, Florian Meyer-Busch, who had long hair, which was still okay in the 80s.
Yeah, he had really long hair.
Yeah, he did.
Hairband kind of hair.
Yeah, did.
I'm not making fun of it. It's just like, if you want to get an idea of how much hair this guy was, think of Poison in the late 80s.
Yeah, it's okay again.
Is it?
Yeah, you have to wear it in a bun, but it's okay. Yeah. Or if you're, big and buff and you have a big beard, it's okay again.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could be like, what's his name? Flavio.
Mm-hmm.
Or Fabio, I mean.
Fabio?
Fabio, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Flavio better.
Flavio. There's a story, but I'll tell you guys later. It'll offend people.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. At this time, as I said, Lisa was a journalism student. And she was thinking of writing a story about Haiti. And she'd done some traveling in the Caribbean, and she was thinking it'd be cool to write a story about the differences between, the economies and level of wealth in America and Haiti. Something to sort of lash us all with guilt and make us feel bad about what's going on in Haiti versus, how well we have it here. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Starving children in Africa plight.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Or you never know. I mean, maybe she wanted to do a more seriously intellectual story about, what are they doing wrong down there? That's something more really actually economically oriented. I don't know. Who knows?
I feel like
she didn't really tell.
Quickly clarify that I don't think Haiti's in Africa, because I feel like some
people
just quickly say that. Anyway, it's hard to tell what she was trying to write about, but she did want to write about that.
Yeah. Assuming that maybe she just wanted an excuse to hop on this ship with this handsome long haired German
or
guy.
An excuse to go down to the Caribbean.
Just go somewhere. Yeah, it could have been. The story varies a little bit, though, and I'm not sure how important it is, but it could be. And in one telling I've heard, Lisa tells Florian that she wants to do a story about Haiti, and then Florian says, oh my God, in his German accent, that, hey, I'm the captain of his ship, which is going to sail to Haiti. And in another telling, they're just chatting, and Florian says, well, I have a ship that I'm kind of the commander of, and hey, we're going to leave on this run to go to Haiti, and hey, you want to tag along? And then maybe she came up with the idea that, hey, I should write a story about, you know, Haiti or something.
As in
that.
Having the trip available to her actually spurred the idea of the art.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around.
Exactly, gotcha. And the only reason this is even remotely significant is it's like, you know, some people have said that, well, did he sort of like find out she was interested and sort of trick her onto the ship? Or, you know what I'm saying?
It was convenient. I got
you. Yeah. It sort of works its way into the theory, sure. Right? But since it's hard to say, since we don't know exactly which of these versions is true. But so back to Lisa. She decides that getting onto a ship, it was, by the way, besides Florian, there were 7 other crew members who were all Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
She decided that getting onto the ship with this one guy she barely knew and 7 other guys she didn't know at all was a great idea. Sure, of course. But apparently her parents and her boyfriend didn't think it was such a hot idea.
Surprise?
Yeah. I saw Lisa's father on the Unsolved Mysteries episode, and he, I don't think he ever
this
met
Florian. This is so funny.
Yeah, you saw that quote from him. He's like, I saw this picture of him, and I immediately thought, this is just not the kind of people she ought to be hanging out with, or something like that.
Sentiments that every father has said just about in history of just about every guy their daughter was with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. He just didn't think that Florian was their kind of people. Yeah. And Lisa's boyfriend, Paul, was also opposed for the obvious reasons, right? And I don't need to name those.
Yep.
He tried to persuade her not to go, but Lisa insisted. And so she signed on aboard the Freedon as a cook. Yeah.
So do we know how good her cooking skills were?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Because that might play into our mystery.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point. She burned one meal too many. Yeah. You know, I mean, if she was totally badass, I assume they could have given her pallets of just TV dinners to prepare for the crew. I don't know.
But it's not that long of a trip, though.
No.
So.
Yeah, Miami to Haiti, I don't think would be more than maybe 3 days.
Yeah, well, if they leave.
Maybe 4 days.
They left on the 17th, and they expected a call from her on Christmas Day, which is 8 days later, so it had to be less than a week to get there.
Yeah, I'm kind of doubting that it would
be. It's probably half as much of that time.
Probably. Yeah. Lisa and Florian left Atlanta, traveled to Miami, where the Freedon was docked, and on the morning of December 17th, 1988, the ship set sail with Lisa on board, and also Florian and the 7 Haitian crew members on board. Lisa did call her parents that morning to say goodbye, and she said she would call when the ship got to Haiti. And the plan was to sail the ship to Gonaïves, which is a small port about 60 miles north of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, on the west coast of Haiti.
Okay.
Yeah. And then her planned date of return was the 31st of December.
I was going to say, about 2 weeks after. Haiti's kind of just south. I'd say it's half again as far as the Bahamas from Miami, wouldn't you say?
Something like that. It's like, you know, if you don't have a map,
it's a very short trip this whole thing
is. Miami
boils down
to the Bahamas is like a couple hours less. Like 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah. I mean, and so I assume this ship was old and rusty and everything. It probably wasn't that fast.
Right. But
yeah, essentially to get there,
a couple days down, hang out for a couple days, and then a couple days back up, right?
Yeah, something like that. And then if you look on the map, the way it works is you go due south from Miami to Cuba and then turn southeast and sort of hug the coast of Cuba until you get to the east end of it, turn south, and then make a left, make a right, and eventually you wind up in Haiti. And so that's
maybe she became Fidel Castro's personal chef.
Well, you know, actually that's possible.
Maybe that's the other way that could have gone.
Yeah,
she could have been so good of a chef.
Oh, good point. The Cubans were contacted by the American government regarding this story.
But we'll get there.
We'll talk there later. Yeah, no one has ever seen Lisa Bishop ever since. Nobody
since when.
Ever since that fateful day on the 17th of December that they left dock and
Miami.
Huh. Left Miami, yeah.
Nobody, not even the crew members?
Well, that's a good point.
Right? She was ostensibly on a ship with them for a couple days, so.
Well, none of those people have been seen either.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
But she's a pretty white girl, so she's the only one that anybody ever cares about.
Fair. Okay.
Absolutely.
What about the pretty German boy?
That's a good point. Nobody's seen him
we'll
either.
Talk about him
but
in
that,
a bit.
We'll find out more about, and of course the Haitians haven't been seen, but nobody cares about them, right?
Bummer.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, if you're not catching it, everybody, we're being sarcastic when we say nobody cares.
We care a lot.
Yes.
Sure, a lot of people cared, actually, but So Christmas Day 1988 came and went. Lisa's parents still had not gotten a message or a phone call from her, so they got a little worried.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly. And also the families of the Haitian crew members also apparently became alarmed. And I heard that actually they reported their family members missing before Lisa's family reported her missing.
Well, they would see or have contact with them much sooner than her family would have. So, yeah.
They might have been waiting at the dock for the ship to arrive.
Something like that.
And the ship never arrived.
It never showed up.
The ship never showed up.
Okay.
No, the ship, the crew, everything. The cargo.
So, none of them have ever been seen again. Gotcha. Okay.
Nope. None of them. So, Lisa's family contacted the authorities, assuming I hear the Coast Guard.
And presumably.
They would be the people to contact. And I think family members of the crew also did.
Do we have names for any of the crew?
No.
Okay.
Not a one. No, this story is all over the internet.
This story is usually pretty stinking skimpy in the content that's available.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd make sure that I just hadn't somehow.
Yeah, no, you weren't the only one who couldn't find that.
Great.
No, it's actually, think of this as your standard TV movie starring Florian, long-haired guy, and Lisa, white girl.
Okay.
And then there's seven extras in the background.
In non-speaking
doing
roles.
Chores on the, yeah.
Right.
Doing chores on a boat.
Okay.
So that's kind of the way it is. Yeah.
Ooh, bummer.
Yeah, I know. The Coast Guard contacted ports all over the Caribbean, and including the Cubans, because there had always been that possibility that somehow they'd stumbled into Cuban waters and been seized by the Cuban Navy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubans swore they had not seen the ship or any of the people. They were probably telling the truth. They also did some aerial searches. That's the Coast Guard. Did aerial searches in January 89 of the old Bahama Channel. Which, you probably know what the old Bahama Channel is.
I do, personally.
Yeah, do you want to describe it or should I?
We'll go for it.
Okay, this is the obvious route between Miami and Haiti. It's like what I described before. Instead, you don't go in a straight line because west of the Bahamas, there's sort of a huge area of shallows there. And so if you went in a straight line towards Haiti, you would run aground.
Right.
So what you do
is you go around.
So you go around. You go south, where there's a nice, much deeper water. And then when you get very close to the coast of Cuba, you hang a left, go southeast, and hug the coast of Cuba, and then go around. And that's the old Bahama Channel.
Yeah.
And they searched that with jets. Well, I think they set up three or four times, something like that. Didn't spot a thing. And the immediate conclusion, of course, was that the Freedon sank. Which is not unusual, right?
So, by the way, we should describe it. It is the photo that is out there.
Yeah.
It is a narrow, rusty hunk of junk.
Yeah.
And it appears to have everything stacked above the decks. So it looked in that photo that I saw, ignoring what you see on Unsolved Mysteries, it did not look as if it was all that stable of a boat. In other words, it looked top-heavy to me.
It was probably stable when he had everything stashed in the hold. I'm sure that they had they probably were smart enough to put the heavier stuff down inside the hold, And
one would assume, but...
And then stack the lighter stuff on top.
I'm making the smirk face with my hands up in the air, because I don't know.
Yeah, again, these are people who, the more money, the more cargo they haul, the more money they make.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're probably going to overload the ship.
Yeah.
That might have been a factor here. I'm not saying I don't want to give anything away. That could have been a factor in what happened if the boat sank, but there's a lot of other possibilities as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as the Coast Guard was concerned, it was like, well,
it sank.
Crappy old rust bucket of a boat. The weather's dicey out there. It sank. Okay. No mystery there. But Lisa's parents and Paul Cornell did not want to drop this case.
Right.
Yeah, they did not.
Understandably.
They tried to track down everybody who knew Florian. That would be people in Miami as well as Atlanta. And I'm not sure why he hung out in Atlanta so much. He was apparently kind of a drifter.
Everywhere I've seen, it kind of said that he just kind of went where the wind blew.
Yeah, yeah, kind of that way.
Chasing a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Atlanta's probably kind of cooler than Miami.
Oh, you think
so?
If
his boat is docked in Miami, it's weird that he's in Atlanta. There's no obvious reason for him to be there, I think, is what...
Except for it's maybe cooler.
Yeah, it might be a cooler town, and it's only, 500-600 miles away, something like that. So,
I don't know about that in 1988, if it was a cooler town than Miami.
I thought you were about to say, I don't know about 88 if it was 500-600 miles away. wondering for a second there. Okay, I have no idea what it was
Anywho.
Like. Yeah. Okay. Where are we at?
We were talking about the family. Sorry, it's my fault.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I think.
But,
it's my fault. It's
okay.
Fine.
No, it's my fault. No, yes. It's your fault.
Yeah, no, Joe, you're right.
Yeah.
Keep going, though.
Yeah. They also, besides tracking down all of his acquaintances, they tried to get the press interested. Mm-hmm. And the Miami New Times published a big article about this story in April of 1989.
Mm-hmm. Which would be 4 months later.
Yeah, exactly. And an underwater salvager named Bob Nyberg read the article, and he remembered something that he had seen. So he comes forward saying he'd seen the Freedon in Georgetown Harbor on Grand Cayman Island about 2 weeks after it supposedly disappeared.
Hmm.
And this is Grand Cayman Island, about 500 miles to the west of Haiti.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's totally on the opposite side of Cuba from where our boat was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, he saw this about 2 weeks after the boat disappeared. He gave a statement on Unsolved Mysteries, said, I was working in Grand Cayman on January that year. There'd been a boat that came in. We were working underwater directly in the harbor area where the ships pulled in and tied up. When I heard the ship coming in, we came up, and that's as in came up from underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And,
probably safer that way.
Probably. And as I was coming out of the water, we looked back and noticed that the name was Freedon, F-R-E-E-D-O-N, and I made a statement to my friend that those guys need their freedom because they can't even spell the word.
Ah.
Yeah. anyway, he said that the next morning the boat was gone.
Hmm.
Yeah, but he said it was definitely Freedon. He made a note of that.
Yeah, little things like that can stick out sometimes, you know.
Well, that is, every time I read the name of this boat, I automatically in my head fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the N became an M because you expect it to be one way.
Yeah, I was calling it Freon.
As in the gas?
Yeah.
Freon is cool.
Nice.
I like that.
Cool story now.
Yeah.
I like Freon better.
All of Freon disappeared.
On should be free.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. I know. But when Lisa's family and boyfriend heard about this, Paul Cornwell got together with Bob Nyberg, and the two of them traveled back to Grand Cayman in May 1989 to investigate. Cornwell and Nyberg spoke to witnesses who said that they had actually seen Florian, but nobody had seen Lisa.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they had actually took pictures of both of them down with them and showed it to a lot of people. And they got some IDs on Florian. However, this is Florian, he was seen with a short dude with black hair.
Is that how he's described, as a dude?
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, the guy he was seen with was just a short man, dude.
What color was Lisa's hair?
She was blonde, kind of a dark blonde.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. 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 She was actually a good-looking girl. But beyond that, Paul and Bob found nothing in Grand Cayman. And so the trail kind of petered out. Later on, the guy was ID'd as a Haitian man called Philippe.
Hmm.
And reportedly, Philippe was the guy who charted the Freedon for its trip to Haiti. Well, I'll tell you how we found this out later.
Okay.
Paul Cornwell went back to Atlanta. He continued looking for any acquaintances or friends of Florian. And he found this woman who had been storing some of his stuff for him.
Florian's?
Yeah, Florian's stuff. And I'm still a little hazy on exactly what the connection was to Florian, how Paul found this woman.
Well, I know that they had a relationship, but I don't know how Paul found her.
Yeah, I don't know
either. That's never really explained.
Yeah, I don't know either. And we don't know her name, so I'm calling her Jane Doe. So, Dan, is that okay with you?
No, that's fine. I'm just considering, I'm
Jane Doe, Matt
thinking
Damon.
About what, yeah, Matt Damon.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm just trying to think about, how she could have come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you don't know. You probably somebody in the bar said, oh, yeah, I remember you used to hang out with this woman, and it's probably just that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is how Philippe was ID'd. He's a black-haired guy. So Paul Cornwell finds a picture of a dark-haired man in Florian's possession and shows it to Jane Doe, who says that, oh, yeah, that's Philippe. And they used to hang out. I used to have a relationship with Philippe. And also she told him that Philippe was involved in a large-scale smuggling operation.
Hmm.
Jane Doe also was the person who told Paul that Philippe was the one who had hired the ship to go to Haiti.
Hmm.
Whatever that is worth. But when Paul heard this, something about, smuggling, obviously that put ideas into his head, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
It would, yeah. And he's thinking, well, something went wrong. They met up with the wrong people, or some horrible plot is uncovered, and Lisa freaks out and threatens to go to the authorities, so they have to bash her over the head with a wrench and throw her body to the sharks, that kind of thing.
Something, something, something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm sure all sorts of weird scenarios went through his head. Now, if this really is true, that they were smuggling stuff, some especially sensitive contraband, then that's really kind of insane to bring along somebody like Lisa, you know, who's just can only be a liability.
I mean, unless they're smuggling humans.
Yeah. Oh,
and he's trying to smuggle her.
Oh, there's that. But we're not going to talk about that.
We're not there yet.
We're not quite there.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just throw that out there.
People are going to love this episode. Oh, but you've got to wait to hear more of that. Yeah. Oh, but you've got to wait to hear more in that part, too.
Well, this is actually the standard operating procedure for, like, the 11 o'clock news and stuff like that.
But we're not the news, and we've had this conversation. Let's keep moving forward.
I'm not 100% sure about the identification of Philippe, because what it sounds like to me is Paul found a photo of a black-haired dude in Florian's possessions, shows it to Jane Doe, who says, oh, yeah, that's Philippe. But how did he know? I mean, this black-haired dude resembled the person that had been that he'd been told about.
In that he was short and had dark hair.
Short and had dark hair, yeah. But other than that, you know, I don't think it's 100% for sure that Philippe was the guy that had been hanging with him in Georgetown on Grand Cayman Island.
Right.
Likely, it's quite possible, but not. I would give that one 100%.
Yeah.
And also, the story got an update recently.
Could have been Danzig, for all we know.
Yeah, it could have been. Danzig? Who's Danzig?
Keep going.
Okay.
I don't even want to go there.
All right. Yeah. So the story is not dead, though. It gets chatted about from time to time on Reddit and Web Sleuths, et cetera. But there was a recent update from a Redditor whose name is No More Anxiety. Is that you, Devin?
Yeah.
It is? Okay, yeah.
But I don't want to dox myself, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, no more. But No More Anxiety got in contact somehow with Paul Cornwell, and Paul told him a few things. He tracked down Florian's parents, presumably in Germany, who told him that they had not actually heard from him since 1988.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul also clarified what Jane Doe said about the smuggling thing. He said it was really actually mostly conjecture on her part.
Okay.
He said he'd spoken to the families of at least some of the Haitian crew members, and those guys have not been heard of since 1988.
Okay.
Lastly, Paul told No More Anxiety that there was a sighting of the Freedom by somebody in the U.S. Navy recently, like date unknown, but apparently sometime since, like, 2010.
Weird.
That's a huge time for it to disappear and reappear, but well, okay.
Especially something as old and crusty and rusty as that thing, you know what I'm saying? I'm taking that one with a big old grain of salt.
Also, one person in the U.S. Navy.
One person in the U.S. Navy, and how does he find out? I presume some guy contacted him and just said, hey, I was in the Navy, and yada, 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 so who knows?
Sent him a random email.
Yeah, could have been.
Probably.
Yeah, there's also a rumor rocketing around the internet. Well, not rocketing, sort of puttering around the internet, I guess. But there's a rumor that the Freedon has been renamed the Freeliant, and that it's still roaming the high seas.
Is that like Freedom, Freedon, or Freeliant? That's kind of like French fries to Freedom fries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess they wanted to save money on paint. I guess they didn't want to change the entire name. Yeah,
just most of it.
Yeah, this is again nobody who republishes this claim ever says that it's substantiated at all.
Explains how
everybody says there it's maybe the Freeliant now, but it's unsubstantiated. So who knows? So that's the extent of the story. So Lisa and the Freedon leave Miami in 88. Nobody is ever seen again, including the ship. And people want to know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
All right.
I do, too.
Yeah, we all want to know. So we got to answer that next. Let's start talking about what possibly might have happened to Lisa, Florian, and the Freedon. And those other seven dudes.
I was going to say, and the other seven dudes.
And the other seven dudes. Ready to get into our cool theories. And there are actually quite a few for this one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the theories behind why seven Haitians and two random other people disappeared.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know what it is.
You know what it is?
It's Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson?
He realized that this ship was floating around. It was going to screw up the movie that he would put out in a couple of years called Braveheart.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was going to get confused if he said the line wrong. You can't take my Freedon!
Oh, I gotcha. Freedon!
You know, the cast and crew are looking at him like, what the hell are you talking about this time, Mel?
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, wait, they already took that ship.
Yeah. No, that's a little known fact that, when he screams freedom at the end, originally it was misspelled in the script, and he did scream freedom.
Yeah.
No,
all right, for
really.
Reals here.
Oh, yeah, for reals. Okay, back to our theories. Well, our first one is the obvious one, of course, the Bermuda Triangle.
It is very close to the Bahamas. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so they would be kind of like off in the westernmost tip of the triangle there. But yeah, they could have like sailed enough into it probably to meet some mayhem, like, you know, interdimensional time warp kind of thingy.
Seems unlikely.
Okay, well, you guys don't want to go into that any more deeply?
No, I really don't want to talk about how I was transported back to 1942 and sunk by the Germans.
Yeah.
Though I guess it probably would have fit in that time period.
Yeah. It would have. They'd be like, this is definitely a period ship. Should it?
Yeah, you know, they always get transported to right before some cataclysmic historic moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what, you know,
it showed up on Bikini Atoll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Hey, what's that over there? It's going tick, tick, tick. Yeah.
That is definitely not the case.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so no Bermuda Triangle, no, like, Philadelphia experiment here. Mm-mm. Let's get to some more real-life possibilities.
Okay.
And there are many here, but in no particular order, pirates.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, is not actually, Pirates of the Caribbean was a movie, and so therefore it must be real. Actually, the Caribbean does have a lot of pirates. It's had pirates for centuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Real ones, too.
And there are real ones even today. They're still out there plying their trade. Maybe the Freedon was taken at sea, diverted to some other mission. I don't know if there was how likely it would be that their cargo was that valuable, although maybe they could have like taken it to some port somewhere.
I can't envision this particular vessel being contracted to carry a high value cargo.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't look like a boat that is screaming money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why. I mean, unless somebody had insider info and there was something hidden in that hold that we didn't know about. It turns out there was a ton of gold in there
If the pirates wanted it, they probably wanted it for some other purpose besides the contents of it. They probably wanted it to, you know, transport something, for example.
It also kind of looked like the kind of ship that they could get away with just taking. It's not, you know, it's not a high dollar liner where the people who own it are going to come after it. Maybe what was on the ship was worthwhile. Maybe what was on the ship wasn't as worthwhile, but having a new ship might have been worthwhile.
And
that nobody
it's such
would
a
come,
rust bucket that it just flies under the radar.
Yeah, that nobody's really going to pay attention to. You like slap a new coat of paint on it and away you go.
Yeah,
that it was easier to get. I mean, you know, maybe it was less staffed. Maybe
it
was less defensible. Maybe
certainly a ship like this is not going to be able to afford to, like, you know, hire a team of Blackwater operatives to, you know, like stand on deck with machine guns to repel boarders.
And
right?
It really did not look like the sort of thing that anybody would have missed.
Yeah,
you know? Very true.
If that white girl hadn't been on that ship, we probably would have never.
Oh,
heard
we
about
never
would have
heard
ever.
About it. No, absolutely not. Yeah, because
nobody would have even looked for it, probably.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't just that she was white. Also, it's because her family and her boyfriend made a stink too.
Right,
that made a difference too. But you know, but ships do disappear all the time, whether it's natural causes or piracy. It could have been taken on the high seas. They could have just boarded the ship at the dock, which happens a lot too.
Yeah.
And piracy is not just all. You know, like,
well, but if I remember correctly, it's not as if it left the dock on its own. It had to be pulled by a tug.
It was taken by a tug. But, I mean, there's no reason you can't, like, board the ship and just say, hey, nice ship, can I have a look around? And then you pull out your revolver and say, hey.
Okay,
you know,
right. We'll keep
thing,
running
you know?
With this.
Right. Yeah, sorry for the cheesy foreign accent there. Mm. And that would account for the Freedon being seen elsewhere, you know, even after it had been presumed lost because it didn't, you know.
Because its new owners were tooling around
it
and having a pleasure cruise.
Yeah, they still hadn't gotten around to abandoning it, scuttling it, whatever they finally did with it. I assume with something like that, especially when the word got out that it was being looked for, you might think it's time to find yourself a new ride.
Or you might...
Or paint a new name on the bow of your boat.
Or you might just go further south.
Or yeah, you could do that too. You could just head on down to South America or something.
Or across the pond.
Or across the pond. I don't
think this boat would have made it.
fair enough.
It probably would have made it. Human beings have been crossing bigger distances on crappier crafts for a long time. But I don't think I would want to chance it.
Yeah, I don't really think this thing would make it. So let's keep moving.
Yeah. Well, now another possibility is just a more natural one, which is that just natural causes, it sank. Like there was a storm, for example. There's also the possibility that, so it might, maybe it wasn't even, although if it sprang a leak, it sounds like it probably would have taken a little bit longer to sink than, say, if it had been a storm.
Yeah, because that was the other thing, right, is there was never ever a distress call or anything like that.
There was no distress call, but you never know. I mean, it might be that the radio wasn't working. I mean, obviously, this is not the best maintained.
Well, it also could be a situation where the leak snuck up on them. If the hold is full of junk, nobody's probably heading down there.
Yeah.
Remember I told you when I was on that trip, my last trip, and we were on a boat, and I couldn't figure out why we kept getting slower and slower on the way home, and then I looked down and I realized the hold was completely full of water because the ding dong had never turned the bilge pump on.
That does happen.
And so it'll be fine, and then you're slowing down, and overnight you don't really notice, and then next thing you know, the deck is at the same level as the ocean around it.
I have actually been in a boat or two where that situation has occurred also.
Yes,
but we never got that far.
One thing I will mention is having been in some of those exact same waters at, you know, that time of year, it is not a nice time to be on the sea. It is the time where it can get, it isn't always, but it can get really rough.
And I imagine it's very changeable very quickly.
And, you know, there will be times where you're just like, well, I'm not going out on the deck today because that wave just crashed right over the promenade deck. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Guess we're staying at sea today.
And
I mean, it can be. And if you've got cargo that maybe wasn't secured properly, or if it was top heavy, like Steve was
And overloaded.
If it was crappy.
A whole host of reasons.
You know, you get one good, you know.
Yeah. Rogue wave.
Yeah. And,
or even just big wave. Not even rogue wave. Just big wave.
Or just a quick little back and forth, two or three of those will just have you right over pretty quick.
Yeah, your cargo shifts and stuff. But yeah, I know that one of the statements the Coast Guard made was relating to the weather and just how the weather is changeable out there. So they seem to have no trouble at all, the Coast Guard, that is, accepting the idea that the boat just sank.
Right.
But on the other hand, then we got Bob Nyberg saying he saw the ship in Georgetown Harbor just, you know, a couple of weeks later.
But he came forward months later.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that he may have seen this ship, but he's got the dates wrong in his head.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. See, I don't know exactly, for example, when he was in Georgetown Harbor. I mean, maybe he was working there as an underwater salvage diver.
Right.
And so it may be that he was contracted to do a job in, like, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks of January 1989.
A specific date range.
And so maybe that's how he knew that he'd seen it after it was supposedly lost. Maybe. I don't know.
Well,
Or it could be, like you say, misremembering. I don't know.
Well, either way, the place that he says he saw the ship was 500 miles away from where that ship should have been anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a mystery on top of that. Even if it did sink.
Yeah.
And he had the dates wrong. Why was it 500 miles away from where it should have been?
Well, it was a tramp freighter. So it's entirely possible, say, they picked up a cargo in Haiti that was to be transported to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's not. But again, it does sort of like put a crimp in the whole it sank theory, sank in the storm theory. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So damn him. Yeah, I know. So, but on the other hand, maybe Florian Meyer Borsch learned that people were searching for Lisa and decided to, you know, move a ship in his business set to South America or Africa or something. Although,
possible.
I don't know. And that's why the ship was never seen again. I don't know. Well, let's go on to our next theory. We'll try to like make this all coherent by the end because I know it's getting complicated here, right?
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really. Okay.
No, not really.
Well, let's move on to our next possible theory here, which is that Lisa and Florian fell in love and they decided to run off and start a new life together.
Okay. Totally discrediting or disregarding the seven other crew people, but...
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're in love and we're going to need to kill you.
We're securing our relationship by murdering seven innocent people. It's what brings us together.
You know, I don't feel that bad about it because, frankly, I don't even know your names.
No.
Yeah, you're extras in our little drama. Yeah.
Well,
that would be pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be, but still, I find this one hard to believe. I mean, this one has actually been suggested by other people, not just me, so that's why I'm bringing it up. And
it also seems like you don't let your family think you're dead.
No, you don't let your family suffer like that.
Yeah.
You know, of course, maybe she was embarrassed, you know, because, you know, she had told her boyfriend, like, oh, nothing's going to happen, everything's going to be fine, and then, well...
She didn't have to contact her boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's a good point. She could have just said to the parents, hey,
could have just sent
tell
them
Paul
a,
it's over. And yeah.
Or call send them an email.
Dear
Haiti.
John letter, yeah.
Call them from Haiti and say, hey, just wanted to let you know that I actually ran off.
Yeah.
I'm never coming back, but I love you guys.
Because you've got a horrible mustache and terrible hair, and I just can't take it anymore.
I can't handle that mullet or whatever it is.
It was a mullet.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm telling you, just call the parents, man. Write them a letter.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, so I'm not buying that theory at all, so let's cross that one off the list.
Okay.
All right? Okay. Our next theory, this is a little more nasty. What if the captain and crew of the Freedon, like, say, raped and murdered Lisa and then just threw her to the sharks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that very similar to the guy with the sub recently and the reporter that he disappeared?
Yeah.
Didn't he chuck her overboard after some, they suspect some sexual encounter went wrong?
Yeah.
And I can't think of their names.
I can't either. But yeah, he was the mad inventor, genius guy. And
I love when they're mad and genius all at the same time. But yes, so it's a similar situation.
Yeah, and he kept changing his story. And then he had to, like, you know, carve her body up into a couple of pieces and throw it to the sharks, you know, and stuff like that. You know,
so maybe this was a precursor to that, is what you get. We're saying here.
Well, you know, but anyway, this theory is actually a more believable theory than Lisa arrives in Haiti safe and sound, believe it or not. But
it still doesn't explain the 7 crew members.
No, that's it. You know, if they had done that, well, maybe after they murdered her, they murdered each other and threw each other overboard. I don't know. No,
okay.
This doesn't really account for the missing crewmen. It actually does not.
This holds as much water as that boat did.
Okay.
Wait, opposite.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Wait, you don't want your boat to hold water.
That's the problem. It's holding water.
Actually, you do want your boat to hold water. You want your boat to hold water out. Yeah.
It was holding it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Okay.
Just like me right now. Hurry up. We got to get to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's talk real fast. Then. Okay. Our next theory, Lisa was sold into slavery. Another popular theory on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I want to say, overuse of the theory of human trafficking.
Yeah.
It certainly happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it happens a lot more than anybody wants to admit, but I don't think it happens as much as it's speculated.
Well, the problem is like when it comes to things like, you know, finding women that want to go into that particular trade, there never seems to be a shortage of them. You know, you don't really need to go kidnapping people and buying.
Well, you do.
I think you often do.
Yeah, I was going to say, so be careful treading down that path, Joe, there are people who go into the trade of being a sex worker willingly, and wind up being indentured servants, slaves, and there are quite a few who don't. So be careful.
Well, no, I get what you're saying, but no doubt there is some coercion involved in that trade and everything, but probably not as much as, and definitely when it comes to women like Lisa or young and pretty, that whole theory is, what should I say, it really is very titillating to a lot of people.
Yeah, like I said, often overused.
Sells newspapers.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, it
and
does.
The only, I guess the only way that I could really see that happening is if they were actually smuggling humans, and that they had already had some sort of setup in place, and maybe this was something that they did a lot, but it still would not explain the missing crew.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah.
Unless the hold was already full of human cargo and they stuffed Lisa down there. And when they got to the port of call, he said, hey, as a bonus, I'm throwing in these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way that's a possibility.
Yeah. Honestly, that's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. But then, what happened to him? But yeah,
he got himself a new crew and went to the Grand Cape.
Well, so that was, I guess, the other thing is it kind of seemed to me, and maybe you guys got a different impression, but it kind of seemed to me that the Haitian crew that he had was his crew for a while.
It sounds like they were
at least for a while. They weren't just one-off contract people. So that would be an extra horrendous thing to do.
It would be kind of heinous.
You knew.
Yeah, it's possible that, I can see a scenario where they're going to smuggle all these people, and then here comes Lisa saying, oh, hey, I'd so love to go along to Haiti. I just so want to go to Haiti. And he's like, oh, this is cool. It just dropped into my lap, And so he invites her along and figures, I'll get a few extra bucks. And so they go do their deal. Then he and the crew take off, visit Grand Cayman, and then sink in a storm.
Yeah, except you would...
That's getting complicated.
Yeah, and you would think they'd visit their family when they got to Haiti.
You would think they would have stopped and said hi, yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't it possible that they weren't actually going to Haiti?
That is possible.
Right? Because there's that possibility. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think I'm treading on an upcoming theory.
It could be. Yeah. But, I mean, we don't know that they actually, he could have lied to her.
Yeah. Especially if the way that this came about was she said, you know, I'd really love to go to Haiti to write a story about poverty. And he says, oh, I'm going to Haiti.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And he's not going
How convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually very true. I've had that thought, although, again, we had the problem with the crew members' families expecting them to show up, and they didn't show up.
I agree with that.
And so that's kind of the whole problem with
that. Though if he was a human trafficker or was looking for people to abduct, it would also help explain why he was in Atlanta instead of Miami.
And it could also, it could actually explain why they all disappeared, because they may have met their buyer and something went wrong and the cargo was transferred and he and his crew were killed because they didn't deliver, or they were jerks about it, or they asked for more money, or they did something that made the bad guys mad.
Yeah, because it's fair. They go to hook up with the bad guys with their human cargo, and unbeknownst to them, their engine system like sprung a carbon monoxide leak and gassed everybody down in the hull. And
what do you mean
and then these guys
everybody's
like,
dead? You're dead now.
Yeah, no, what do you mean everybody's dead? Well, I guess I'll take all of you instead then. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
See, and this is exactly why people trot out this theory all the time of human trafficking or sex slavery or anything like that.
But I think the last
because
bit
it's so easy to just be like,
and it's exciting. You know? It's very dramatic and all that stuff.
I agree. I don't think any of it really satisfactorily explains the missing Haitian.
Yeah. So, yeah. So much for the sold into slavery theory. All right, let's work on our next theory here, which is that maybe Lisa Bishop made it to Haiti, but she met a bad end in an unrelated incident.
Yeah.
Right? She meets a serial killer.
It's not as if even today it's not a rough and tumble. It was not a rough and tumble place. I mean, accidents happen. It's not a overly... Also,
it doesn't really sound like she planned this trip out very well, you know?
No.
She kind of just was like, I don't know, I've had a pretty easy life. Let's go see what not easy life is like. And,
yeah, that
you know,
could
packed a backpack with her little clipboard and went down there and was like, I'm going to write about poor people.
Yeah.
Just
walks
up to the first poor person she sees who maybe is like, you know, a really horrible serial killer or something and says, hi, I'm from America. I'm writing a story on impoverished people. Would you like talk to me? And the person goes, yeah, I actually have a place where we can do the interview. And she goes, okay, that sounds great.
What I really, really wish everybody who's listening right now could have seen was Devin holding out her script like it was a clipboard with an imaginary pen in front of it, writing out as she was talking.
I know. Can I ask you some questions?
I don't mean
to paint her as like a...
No, a bubblehead.
Yeah, or
no,
anything like that. But
from everything I've heard, actually, she was a smart girl. But
yeah.
But
she put herself in maybe not the best situation by just... Just getting on that ship, and so
yeah, I think so. Her judgment could have been a little better.
Could have made a bad decision. It could have been totally fine. We could be besmirching the captain. What's his name? Fabian.
Yeah, Florian
Meyerbusch.
Yeah, I mean, Florian has attracted a lot of suspicion for obvious reasons.
We could
reasons.
Be totally besmirching him. He could have.
He could
you
totally
know,
be innocent of everything.
Taken her down there. She walked off the ship and on her way to the payphone.
And did something stupid or just maybe she did everything right and crossed paths with the wrong person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's that too. Maybe,
yeah.
You know,
But
then again, that's there's still a problem with that, which is, of course, the crew members in the ship didn't show up either in Haiti.
That's the big problem in just about every theory that we've
talked
about.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So these theories that have been put forth by people other than me, really, pretty much. So what really happened? Well, of course, as Devin mentioned, do we really know that the ship was headed to Haiti to begin with?
Well, the crew.
Yeah. Do we really know? Do we really know, for that matter, that Lisa actually got on board the ship?
No.
We don't know that, actually, 100% for sure, because nobody, I don't think her family and boyfriend actually went down to Miami to see them off at the docks.
I suspect not.
She called
the morning of her departure,
Right, but did she call from the dock?
I don't think so. I don't know. She could have called from, like, a payphone down at the docks.
Well, that's what I was wondering about, is if it was... just from her apartment or a hotel room, or if it was from the dock before she got on board. Mm-hmm. It's never clear to me. That's why I'm asking this question.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't know.
Okay.
That is a good question. But she did call sometime. And of course, I've actually heard, too, that they actually didn't actually leave the dock until like 2 in the afternoon that day. So between the phone call and actually leaving the dock, there was plenty of time for Lisa to not get on that boat.
Wander off.
And wander off and get run over, or maybe meet a serial killer over here in Miami. Dexter.
Fall into the mouth of an alligator.
Yeah, there's a lot of them there. Yeah, and so we don't really know. But I assume she did get on the ship. All I am saying is we can't assume 100% here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
There's other unanswered questions, too. We've talked about that. What the hell was Florian doing hanging out in Atlanta anyway?
Yeah.
If his freighter was docked in Miami. As far as Lisa goes, did she meet a bad end? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it,
yeah.
Whether it was drowning or kidnapping or
anything
murder.
In between that.
But whatever happened to her, unfortunately, it was not good, because I'm not buying the whole she ran off with Florian or she just decided to disappear and start a new life on Haiti, you know,
yeah.
Living with the peasantry on Haiti. I don't think that happened.
I don't think so either.
So, you know, I think that, she met a bad end.
I think those seven Haitians whose names we don't know, and
they
Florian
probably did too.
Probably all
and
did
probably,
too.
Yeah, they probably all did. I think, unfortunately, the ship sank. The whole thing that happened with Grant Cayman and what's his name, Bob Nyberg, there's all sorts of possibilities there. Like you guys said, he might have just been mistaken about the dates that he
mm-hmm.
saw the ship. Could have been another ship named the Freedon.
I was going to say, it's kind of a weird name.
Yeah.
Right? But what's not to say that...
Well, somebody on Reddit made a really good point about this, and that is that if the ship was from Haiti, when this took place, this is not long after Baby Doc Duvalier,
mm-hmm.
His regime fell. And I don't know if you remember Papa Doc and Baby Doc, who were
roughly
some nasty little dictators who ruled Haiti for a long, long time. And they were pretty tyrannical, and so when Baby Doc finally got tossed out, it was a happy moment. And this guy made the point that, you know, it's not inconceivable that a lot of people decided to paint the word freedom on the sides of their ships, their cars, or whatever. And also, of course, you know, as you know, English is not the first language in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you could easily misspell.
And it's also possible that they spelled it correctly, but paint peels and rust flows.
Well, there's that too, yeah. I mean...
Totally.
Yeah, and so, I don't know. So it could have been another Freedon. Or Freedon, I guess. It could have been another Freedon. Or again, the dates were
like
wrong.
Freedon.
Yeah, Freedon is good. Or maybe Bob just sort of was, maybe he massaged the facts a little bit. I don't know.
Or maybe it was Mel Gibson.
Yeah, oh, there's that too.
Yeah.
So but I mean, if it wasn't for that, and again, the people that they went and talked to in Georgetown and showed Florian's picture to, well, I've seen Florian's picture. He's actually a good-looking guy. He was a good-looking guy with long hair and everything. But I don't know. He wasn't that remarkable-looking.
He looked like a lot of guys in the late 80s with long blonde hair.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good-looking guy, but yeah, I could see where you could easily look at that face, and he looks like a lot of other tourists and other people that you've run into in the past couple of months.
We all do.
And let's not forget, too, that these people were remembering something. This was May when Bob and... Yeah, when Bob, yeah so it's
and
like...
And her dad.
Yeah, it was Bob
and
Nyberg
boyfriend.
And Paul. Paul, that's it. So it was May when Paul and Bob went to Georgetown
to show these
pictures around. Yeah, months later. And these guys are supposedly remembering, I saw this Florian guy. I don't think so.
Well, or they're remembering, I've seen him before in my life. You know, maybe he was there. He could have been there months before.
Yeah, it could have been.
And they remembered him because he was a notorious drunk, or he was a jerk, or he was a great tipper.
He could have been
else.
There years before.
Yeah,
and
or not
they
years.
Were just like, that hair.
But if you were to ask me, did this event, did this thing, you met this guy, was it 4 months ago? Was it 6 months ago? Eight months ago?
I might not know.
I probably wouldn't be able to give you a total clue on that either. So I just have to sort of come in favor of the ship sank.
Yeah.
And this is another one of these mysteries, you know. And it's going to be kind of one of the, it's like DNA testing. One of these days, we will make the oceans transparent. We'll be able to look down at the bottom and see all sorts of crap laying down there,
mm-hmm.
and we'll solve a lot of mysteries.
If we see a wreck, surrounded by bicycles, we know we found our boat.
There you go. Bicycles?
Haven't you seen the photo? There's the photo of the boat head on, and then there's the photo of the boat being loaded, and it's one of the crew members. He's loading a bicycle. And they did so many shots in the Unsolved Mysteries segment of bicycles stacked up on the bow of the ship.
I feel like that's got to be...
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm totally making fun of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea, but they might find a ton of bicycles down there. I don't know.
Probably will.
All right.
So that's about it. Tune in next week when we talk about something else. Meanwhile, if you'd like to send us an email with your own theories, our email address is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. Our website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com, where you can download our episodes or listen to them. You can also buy merch. There's links to our Instagram, links to our social media, Facebook, and also links to Stitcher Premium. We have a Stitcher Premium link, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is really where you want to be listening to us anyway.
It's the right way.
It is the right way. Yes, absolutely. It's what the cool kids are doing. Stitcher Premium allows you to hear our content 4 days early and ad-free, and you also get some bonus content, too.
Yeah.
And if you sign up for 12 months and you use the code SIDEWAYS, then you get a free month. So go to Stitcher.com/thinkingsideways and sign up today.
By the way, don't forget, on the website also is the complete episode list.
Oh, yeah. That's
I went in there and updated it because I realized I hadn't touched it in a little while.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's completely up to date.
So it is actually updated now.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So, yeah, that's a little easier than having to scroll through all the way page after page. Much, much quicker. Yeah, I've used it myself, actually. Of course, we are on Facebook, as I mentioned, where we have a group and a page. So like the page, join the group. You got to answer two questions, but they're very, very easy. We're on Twitter, where we are Thinking Sideways. Lots of great stuff going on out there, including pictures of my cat, a Bigfoot bumper sticker, and let's see what else.
That's the wrong account, Joe.
Oh, was that Instagram?
That's Instagram, but it's fine.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
All right.
Now you can tell everybody about Instagram because we're talking about
it. We are on Instagram, where we are Thinking Sideways Podcast. So find us out there. It's easier to get to us just through our webpage. And we have a subreddit, of course, Thinking Sideways. That's about it, I think, for this week.
Awesome.
Got anything more to share?
No.
More ideas?
Don't get on boats with people you barely know, especially when they're rusty little boats.
That's probably wise life advice. Yeah.
Yes.
Petition to find out the names of the 7 Haitian men who went missing.
I would be, you know, if anybody has access to...
Please send it our way.
Yeah, because I could not find it, and it actually is very, very frustrating.
This is going to be really frustrating when somebody's like, I Googled it, and 15 seconds later...
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
because
if you
Google
do,
hates us.
But if you do, please do send it to us, because I would like to know.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, we'll do a special episode just on those guys. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Ta-ta.